This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Thursday, May 26th, 2016. Coming up this hour.
World equity markets are showing modest gains as Brent crude rises above $50 a barrel for the first time since November.
China tops the agenda as leaders of the Group of Seven Nations meet in Japan.
Blackstone's Tony James tells Bloomberg hedge funds should expect a day of reckoning.
Hillary Clinton's response to an audit about the email controversy, plus a devastating tornado on the ground for an hour and a half. I'm Michael Barr. Those stories and more straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees' six-game win streak has ended. Steven Matz pitched the Mets to victory in Washington, a route for Cleveland in the NBA, and San Jose has reached the Stanley Cup Final.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg The First Word, on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg, the first word, is brought to you by BNY Mellon. Proudly introducing Asset Strategy View, a game changer for asset managers and asset owners. Visit BNYMellon.com to learn about Asset Strategy View.
And at 6:01 on Wall Street, we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And U.S. stock index futures, they're little change to higher. S&P E-mini futures up a point, Dow E-mini futures up 20, and NASDAQ E-mini futures up 5.5. The DAX in Germany's up 0.4%, CAC in Paris up 0.3%, and the FT 100 up 0.1%. The Nikkei 225 gained 0.1%, so did the Hang Seng in Hong Kong. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, the yield 1.86%, the yield on the 2-year 0.90%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 27 cents to $49.83 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $3.60 to $12.30.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.11.83, the yen 109.98.
Leaders of the Group of Seven Nations meet in Japan today. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe earlier presented documents to his fellow G7 leaders that he said indicated a risk of the world economy falling into a crisis on the scale of the 2008 Lehman shock. And China looms large over the talks. For more, we go to Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann. Yvonne.
Bob and Karen, China on the agenda, but not on the guest list at the G7 Leader Summit in Ise Shima. But we're continuing to see the topic of China creep into a lot of discussions this weekend, and in particular coming from the UK Prime Minister David Cameron, even before he landed in Japan, talking about China's steel glut. That has topped G7 chatter, saying that the steel overcapacity we see in the mainland is a general problem for EU. And European Commissioner President Jean-Claude Juncker telling reporters that Europe can't afford to be defenseless against distorted markets. Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Radio, Ise Shima, Japan.
Thanks, Yvonne. HP is showing signs of improvement, even as sales of personal computers and printers continue to fall. For more, we go to Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The company is looking to reduce expenses in a struggling consumer market. HP is stepping up efforts to drive profitability after gaining independence in November from Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, which sells corporate tech gear. Earlier this year, the company said it would reduce costs and accelerate job cuts amid challenges with the computer and printer markets, partly brought on by changing consumer tastes. HP said sales during the quarter ending in April declined 11% to $11.6 billion, missing the average estimate of $11.7 billion. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
Charlie, thanks. Blackstone President Tony James says the $2.9 trillion hedge fund industry may lose about a quarter of its assets in the next year as performance slumps. James tells Bloomberg that the industry faces a, quote, day of reckoning and that the shrinkage will be painful. Hedge funds are facing their worst start to a year in performance and investor withdrawals since the aftermath of the financial crisis.
Bill Gross, manager of Janus Capital's Unconstrained Bond Fund, speaking from the Bloomberg F116 conference in Beverly Hills, says he thinks the Federal Open Market Committee will go ahead with a June rate hike.
The second quarter is looking decent. It's a 2 to 3% type of quarter. It's a comeback from the first quarter. Jobs will probably be adequate in terms of growth, and the dollar has gone down instead of up, and the stock market is close to its peak. And so for all those reasons, financial conditions and real economic statistics, this is their time, if ever, to move.
Janus Capital's Bill Gross, the Fed Funds futures market, places the likelihood of a June rate increase at 34%.
Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan has cited Brexit as a possible factor for the FOMC to consider. At its June 15th meeting, Kaplan spoke to Bloomberg from an event in Houston.
The Brexit vote represents to me some amount of tail risk, destabilization. We're just going to have to, as we get closer, make a judgment as to how big a factor that is going to be in us being able to make a decision.
Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan, the UK holds its referendum on EU membership on June 23rd.
The U.S. reports durable goods data today. For a preview, we go to Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice at the First Word desk.
The data track orders for big-ticket items made the last three or more years, from aircraft to home appliances. We could be seeing a turnaround. The dollar has lost some ground, making American goods less expensive overseas. March orders rose 1.3%. Additionally, Federal Reserve data show factory orders rose in April for the first time in 3 months. At the Bloomberg First Word desk, I'm Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
Brent crude today rose above $50 a barrel for the first time since November. This after data showed U.S. stockpiles declined more than forecast at a time when output is shrinking in Nigeria and Venezuela. Brent has surged about 80% since dropping in January to the lowest level since 2003. And checking oil right now, West Texas Intermediate crude is up 0.5% to $49.81. Brent crude higher by 0.2% to $50.06 a barrel.
Borrowers and investors across the Middle East are adjusting to a new landscape following the region's biggest ever bond sale. Qatar sold $9 billion of euro bonds yesterday. The issue helped push 2016 bond sales from the Middle East and North Africa to $29.3 billion, already a record for the first half of a year. And futures this morning, little change to higher. S&P E-mini futures up a point, Dow E-mini futures up 21, and NASDAQ E-mini futures up 5. 10-year Treasury up 1/32, the yield 1.86%, the euro $1.1183. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. This hour of the First Word is brought to you by Palisades Audi. Visit PalisadesAudi.com. President Obama speaks at the G7. Let's bring in Michael Barr with the very latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Barack Obama and the other leaders of the G7 nations are gathered in Japan for talks that include what to do about the sagging world economy. The president spoke in a news conference a few moments ago.
The need to continue to accelerate growth. To use all the tools at our disposal to make sure that we're not only putting people back to work, but also helping to lift wages and helping to make sure that we can sustain the momentum of the recovery that's taking place in the United States most prominently, but also we're starting to see some progress in Europe.
Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe called on G7 leaders to unite in forging a more urgent coordinated response to the faltering global recovery. The war of words continues between Donald Trump and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. The presumptive Republican presidential nominee called the Democratic senator a hypocrite because, as Trump puts it, she bought foreclosed housing and made a quick killing. On Tuesday, Warren called Trump a money grubber during a speech. Yesterday, Donald Trump campaigned in Anaheim, California, and continued his attack on Hillary Clinton.
Crooked Hillary Clinton. She's not saying it. But she's making the moves. Crooked Hillary Clinton wants to abolish, remember that, abolish the Second Amendment. They want your guns taken away.
Hillary Clinton campaigned in California. It comes as a State Department internal audit was released that is critical of her email setup when she was Secretary of State. Clinton spoke to Univision.
I have turned over all of my emails. No one else can say that. I have been incredibly open about doing that. I will continue to be open.
Clinton says she has cooperated fully with the investigation. Officials in Kansas say a large tornado has damaged and destroyed as many as 25 homes in a rural area in the northern part of the state. There were no immediate reports of fatalities. The twister was on the ground for about an hour and a half last night. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus around the world. I'm Michael Barr. Bob?
Much obliged, sir. That brings us to 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Land Rover Parsippany Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. It was a climb for the Yankees to get back to 500 after being 8 games under. And as soon as they did, with 6 wins in a row, they did fall back under. Losing at the stadium in Toronto, 8-4. Ex-Yank Russell Martin, 2 home runs, his first 2 of the season. First 6 in the Yankee order, went 0-23. Chase Headley did hit a home run. He knows winning streaks don't last forever.
We're playing good baseball. We dug ourselves a big hole, and we've really worked hard to get ourselves out of it. And we're playing well as late. And they just beat us tonight. But if we come out and win a series tomorrow, we feel pretty good about ourselves.
CC Sabathia will start the series finale before the Yanks begin a 10-game road trip. Steven Matz yesterday, brilliant in a 2-0 Mets victory that won them the series in Washington, gets the Mets to within a half game of first place. Matz won a career high 8 innings, allowed just 4 hits. He impressed Nationals manager Dusty Baker.
He was throwing the heck out of the ball. He really wasn't letting us. He's working quick. He threw a heck of a game. Heck of a game. That's probably one of the better games we've seen this year.
Matz was roughed up at his first start of the year, but since then 7-0 with a 1.13 ERA. Red Sox last night beat the Rockies. Boston's Jackie Bradley Jr. extended his hitting streak to 29. NBA, another blowout win for the Cavs. They've won the 3 home games versus Toronto by an average of 27 points, and this one was by 38. 116-78, they were up by 33 at halftime. Cleveland leads 3-2 with Game 6 in Toronto tomorrow. First time ever, the San Jose Sharks will play for the Stanley Cup, putting aside past playoff disappointments. Sharks beat the Blues 5-2, won the series 4-2. The Cup Final begins Monday. San Jose will face the winner of tonight's Game 7, Tampa Bay at Pittsburgh. Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal, Serena Williams among those playing this morning at the French Open. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashel.
John, thanks very much. Stay with us. Coming up, we'll talk to David Powell, Bloomberg Intelligence Economist, for a preview of this G7 meeting getting underway in Japan. S&P E-mini futures up a single point right now. Treasury prices are higher. The yield on the 10-year now down to 1.86%. You're listening to Bloomberg, the First Word. And the sports report was brought to you by Land Rover Parsippany. The spring sales event is happening now. Visit LandRoverParsippany.com. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Today we're watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with durable goods orders at 9:45. It's the Consumer Comfort Index, and at 10, pending home sales. Brent crude is rising about $50 a barrel for the first time since November on signs a 2-year surplus is coming to an end, lifting commodity companies and lifting currencies as well, where oil is produced. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. U.S. stock index futures, little change to higher this morning, with S&P E-mini futures up a point, Dow E-mini futures up 21, NASDAQ E-mini futures up 5, the DAX in Germany's up 0.4%, 10-year Treasury up 1/32, the yield 1.86%, NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 29 cents to $49.85 a barrel, COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.80 at $12.29.40 an ounce, the euro $1.1182, the yen at 1.10 even. Sears reporting first quarter revenue that missed analyst estimates. And meanwhile, it also reported an adjusted loss for the quarter that was narrower than analysts, or that was narrower than the one a year ago. And Sears also is said to be exploring options for its Kenmore, Craftsman, Die Hard, Sears Home Services business as well. Again, first quarter revenue, looking at it again, it was $5.4 billion. That will compare to $5.9 billion a year ago. That was not an analyst estimates. Costco Wholesale posting third quarter earnings that beat analyst estimates after the warehouse club curtailed costs. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Barack Obama and the other leaders of the G7 nations are gathered in Japan for talks that include what to do about the sagging world economy. Officials say Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe will stress the importance of G7 leadership, urging his counterparts to convey a powerful message on the need to do more to spur growth. A large tornado damaged or destroyed as many as 25 homes in a rural area of northern Kansas. According to the National Weather Service, it was on the ground for about an hour and a half. There are no reports of injuries or fatalities. In sports and baseball, the Yankees lost to the Blue Jays, the Mets shut out the Nationals, the Red Sox and Giants won, the Orioles and A's lost. In the NHL playoffs, the San Jose Sharks are headed to the Stanley Cup Finals.
More on these and other stories at the bottom of the hour.
Bloomberg Intelligence, valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And your Bloomberg Intelligence this morning brought to you by CIT, from transportation to healthcare to manufacturing. CIT offers commercial lending, leasing, and treasury management services for small and middle market businesses. Learn more at CIT.com. Put knowledge to work. Well, we're glad to have Bloomberg Intelligence economist David Powell on the line with us now to put the G7 meeting getting underway in Japan in some perspective. Good morning, David. Welcome. Get us up to speed, if you will, on the economic issues that are on the agenda for these world leaders in Tokyo.
Yeah, basically, the G7 put on their agenda to discuss the slowdown in emerging markets, oil prices, trade, and infrastructure spending. But it's not a whole lot they can really do about the slowdown in emerging markets, oil prices. So the focus is really probably going to be on bringing up the trade talks, but even more so probably on infrastructure spending. And that would be in line with what the Japanese Prime Minister said about boosting the recovery of the world economy.
I would imagine that the word China is going to cross their lips.
Yeah, it certainly is a concern that falls under that category of the slowdown in the emerging markets, but the G7 themselves don't have too much control over what happens in China, so they're probably going to be focusing a bit more on what they can do at home in order to improve economic growth.
I know they sent their finance ministers ahead last week to meet. Did they agree on anything about this week's meeting?
They essentially couldn't really come to an agreement about what should be done about the slowdown in growth that we're seeing. They had issued a very kind of vague compromise in the end, which said that each country has at its own toolbox, including monetary fiscal tools as well as structural reforms, and they should use them as they see fit. But that's not really in line with kind of what the G7 normally does. They kind of try to come up with an agreed line between all of them. But that's indicative of that agreement not having been found.
Now, I would imagine that lack of agreement doesn't bode so well for a positive outcome tomorrow, does it?
Exactly. So basically the fight here, I shouldn't say fight, the disagreement or kind of the debate is around austerity or spending more. So in the austerity camp, we know we have the Germans and also the British who've been trying to close their budget deficit. And the French and the Italians are basically going along with what the Germans say, partially because they have to reduce their budget deficits to remain in line with European Union rules. And on the other side, you essentially have Japan, which would like a bit more fiscal stimulus. Certainly Canada, under its new prime minister, is pursuing fiscal stimulus, and the U.S. has essentially come to the end of its austerity. So you've got those two sides, the austerity versus spending, and they're going to try to find some agreement. But like you said, the lack of agreement amongst the finance ministers doesn't bode too well for an agreement at the level of leaders when the meeting concludes tomorrow.
Well, if that's the case, is there any sense of urgency among these leaders? I mean, today, for example, we had the Japanese Prime Minister Abe presenting documents to his fellow G7 leaders that he said indicated a risk of the world economy falling into a crisis on the scale of the 2008 Lehman shock.
Yeah, that probably is not a view that's held by all of those leaders that were at that stage of a crisis, meaning that there's not as much urgency as there was when those leaders were able to agree much more easily on fiscal stimulus in the aftermath of the Lehman bankruptcy. For example, the Germans, who kind of lead the austerity camp, they see no major cause for concern at home, and certainly not that level of urgency as described by the Japanese Prime Minister.
And so where does that leave us in terms of any kind of action coming out of this meeting?
Probably not a whole lot. The final statement may be somewhere along the lines of what the finance minister said, essentially that each country will have to choose the economic tools at its disposable in order to deal with its own economic conditions, which is basically code word for they can't agree on what they should do together to push forward the world economy.
David Powell from Bloomberg Intelligence, thank you very much. Bloomberg Intelligence provides unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Our terminal customers can access this function at BIGO. S&P E mini futures up a single point right now, less than a tenth of 1%. Treasury prices on hold right now. The yield on the 10-year at 1.86%. You're listening to Bloomberg, the first word on Bloomberg Radio. And Bloomberg, the first word, brought to you by Jaguar of Morris County, introducing the all-new Jaguar F-Pace, the first-ever SUV from Jaguar. Visit Jaguar Morris County or call 855-638-2404 for special lease and financing offers.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, SiriusXM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg the First Word.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Brent crude today rose above $50 a barrel for the first time since November. This after data showed U.S. stockpiles declined more than forecast at a time when output is shrinking in Nigeria and Venezuela.
Borrowers and investors across the Middle East are adjusting to a new landscape following the region's biggest ever bond sale. Qatar sold $9 billion of euro bonds yesterday. The issue helped push 2016 bond sales from the Middle East and North Africa to $29.3 billion, already a record for the first half of a year.
Leaders of the Group of Seven Nations are meeting today in Japan. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe earlier presented documents to his fellow G7 leaders that he said indicated a risk of the world economy falling into a crisis on the scale of the 2008 Lehman shock.
U.S. initial jobless claims out today at 8:30 Wall Street time. For more on that, we go to Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice at the First Word desk.
The labor market has had a good run. Jobless claims have been below 300,000 for 63 consecutive weeks, the longest stretch since 1973. The pace of hiring, however, could be slowing. In April, employers added the fewest workers in 7 months. At the Bloomberg First Word desk, I'm Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Vinnie. Blackstone President Tony James says the $2.9 trillion hedge fund industry may lose about a quarter of its assets in the next year as performance slumps. James tells Bloomberg that the industry faces a day of reckoning and that the shrinkage will be painful. The hedge fund industry is having its worst start to a year in performance and investor withdrawals since the aftermath of the financial crisis.
And the Volatility Index report is brought to you by CBOE VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at cboe.com/powerfuloutcomesVIX. The VIX was down 3.6% yesterday to close at 1390. And separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are lower by a little less than 0.5% to 1387. That's this morning's Volatility Report.
Thanks, Bob. And S&P E-mini futures are up 2 points now. Dow E-mini futures up 31 and NASDAQ E-mini futures up 8. So futures are extending their gains this morning. The DAX in Germany also extending its gains, up 0.5% now. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, the yield 1.86%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.90%. The euro at $1.1188. The yen is at 109.96. And the British pound, $1.4709. This is Bloomberg, the First Word.
And that, Karen, brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898. New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 31st Street. President Obama in Japan. Let's bring in Michael Barr with the very latest now. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Obama is in Japan for a meeting with the G7 leaders. President Obama, in a news conference about an hour ago, said other leaders at the summit are watching the U.S. presidential race and the rise of Donald Trump's support.
They are not sure how seriously to take some of his pronouncements, but they're rattled by it.
Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is urging fellow G7 leaders to unite in forging a more urgent, coordinated response to the faltering global recovery. Donald Trump has entered a new phase of his campaign, fundraising. The presumptive Republican presidential nominee held a $25,000 per ticket dinner in Los Angeles last night.
The reception was without a home of Trump's friend and a fellow real estate investor. It was Trump's final stop after a busy day of campaigning across the Los Angeles area that included a rally and an appearance on ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live. Hillary Clinton says she is cooperating fully with the investigation into her use of personal emails while she was Secretary of State. A State Department Inspector General report was critical of her use of the email account. Clinton spoke to Univision.
Just like previous secretaries of state, I used a personal email. Many people did. It was not at all unprecedented.
Clinton says it will not affect her presidential campaign. 11 states have filed a lawsuit to fight President Obama's guidelines on what public school bathrooms transgenders can use. The states involved in the lawsuit say the president has no right telling transgender students they can use the school bathroom that matches their gender identity. Texas is one of the states in the lawsuit. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton.
We're taking this action to protect Harold Independent School District, which on Monday night fulfilled a responsibility to their community by adopting a bathroom policy that puts the safety of their students first.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus around the world. I'm Michael Barr. Bob?
Michael, thanks very much. That brings us to 6:35 on Wall Street. And that is time for your Land Rover Parsippany Bloomberg NBC Sports Updates. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. Toronto Blue Jays off to a slow start after winning the AL East last year. Their bats woke up a bit last night at the stadium, especially Russell Martin, who hit his first home run of the season and then hit another. Jays ended the Yankees' six-game win streak 8-4. Marco Estrada beat Ivan Nova. Yanks in the loss did get home runs from Chase Headley, D.D. Gregorius, and Austin Roman, just his second in the big leagues, his first in 3 years. The series ends tonight, and Alex Rodriguez comes off the disabled list. A-Rod homered last night for Double-A Trenton. The struggling Mark Teixeira expected to miss a few more games with a stiff neck. Mets made it 5 of the last 6. They won 2-0 at Washington. David Wright's first inning home run, all that Steven Matz would need. He was brilliant again in winning his 7th straight. Matz retired 16 in a row at one point. Mets say Matt Harvey, despite his struggles, will make his next start on Monday. Not much of an NBA game. Cleveland led by 18 in the first quarter, by 33 at the half. 116-78 over Toronto. Kevin Love, after two subpar games on the road, came home, scored 25 points. LeBron James had 23 and now looks to end the series.
Get our guys mentally and physically prepared for a heck of a game on Friday night in Toronto. You know, if we're able to come home victorious, then the streak continues. If not, we prepare for game 7. But, you know, that's my mindset. My mindset has never been about records or streaks or things of that nature.
One more win. LeBron's in the NBA Finals for the 6th year in a row. 3 times San Jose had lost in the NHL's West Finals. 2 years ago, first round, they blew a 3-0 series lead. The Sharks beat St. Louis 5-2, won the series 4-2, and now Joe Thornton will play for the Stanley Cup.
It's unbelievable. It's especially to do it here at home. These guys have been waiting 25 years for this, and obviously I've been waiting a long time too, so it's pretty sweet.
Sharks will face whoever wins tonight's Game 7 in the East, Tampa Bay at Pittsburgh, with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower.
John, thanks very much. And the Bloomberg View is brought to you by Benzel Bush Motor Car in Englewood, New Jersey, offering a commitment to service, luxury, and value with total transparency from America's premier automotive dealership. Define the way you drive at BenzelBush.com. Coming up on 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
The leader of Europe's finance ministers called this week's agreement on Greek debt a major breakthrough. In a way, it was. It raised the art of dithering to impressive new heights. The next financing crunch has been staved off. Greece will get money to see it through at least until October. To make this possible, its creditors have ventured semi-commitments and vague understandings. But they left unresolved basic disagreements, mainly between Germany and the IMF. Recently, the IMF has called on Europe to commit to additional debt relief, whether by haircuts, caps on interest rates, extended maturities, or repayment moratorium. It is argued, correctly, that Greece's debts aren't supportable otherwise. The New Deal acknowledges this position by stating long-term targets for the debt financing burden Greece will have to carry. What it fails to say is how those targets might actually be met. Germany mainly wants to avoid decisions on easing Greece's debt burden any further before 2018. The deal doesn't actually potentially preclude further debt relief and other measures that will sooner or later be needed to put the Greek economy back on a stable footing. But it's a breakthrough with European characteristics, one that settles nothing. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Shares of Banco Popular plunged to a 26-year low after the Spanish lender said it needs to write down more real estate assets and sell about $2.8 billion of its stock to repair its balance sheet. The bank said it may suspend its dividend as certain uncertainties could lead to provisions of $5.3 billion in 2016, mainly for loans and property. Shares of Banco Popular currently down 20.6%. Abercrombie & Fitch reports earnings today. For a preview, here's Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The teen-focused chain's fourth-quarter earnings and sales topped forecasts. Same-store sales were up for the first time in 3 years, and A&F says it sees the positive trends from late last year continuing, but foreign currency headwinds are likely to linger. Forecasters predict Abercrombie & Fitch will post a 50-cent-per-share loss on revenue of nearly $710 million. Most analysts are neutral on A&F. The retailer gets 20 hold ratings, 7 buy ratings, and 6 sell ratings. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Jeff. And S&P E-mini futures up 2 points right now, a tenth of 1%. Treasury prices unchanged. The yield on the 10-year at 1.86%. And West Texas Intermediate crude is up 0.2% to $49.86 a barrel. Brent crude is above $50, $50.13 a barrel right now. That's up 0.75%. And coming up, the Bloomberg Green Report, brought to you by Wonder Capital, the leading solar investment platform that allows you to invest in large-scale solar projects while earning up to an 11% return. Learn more at wondercapital.com. That's Wonder with a U.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are higher this morning, along with the price of NYMEX crude oil. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. That's right. Gains in the U.S. futures today, with Dow futures currently higher by 33 points. S&P's gained 3 and NASDAQ futures rise 8.5. The U.S. 10 yield at 1.87%. And Brent oil passed $50 a barrel for the first time in 6 months. Main European markets are also trading mixed this morning. On the U.S. economic front, at 8:30, initial jobs claims and durable goods orders. At 10 o'clock, pending home sales. At 10:30, natural gas storage change. And at 11, Kansas City Fed. After the bell last night, Costco Q3 adjusted EPS topped estimates. Comp sales missed. And HP Q2 adjusted EPS beat estimates. Also lowered the high end of 2016 EPS views. Regarding earnings this morning, Tech Data Q2 views beat estimates. In other news, Sears to explore options for Kenmore, Craftsman, and DieHard brands. Finally, Alibaba shares defended over at Evercore ISI remains a buy with a price target of 98. And Archer Daniels Midland raised a buy over at Citigroup. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen.
All right, thanks, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg Times Squawk Go on your terminal, that's SQUAWK Go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, officials in Australia say 3 pieces of debris found washed ashore in Mozambique and the Indian Ocean island of Mauritius will be examined by investigators in Australia to see if they came from the missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. The debris from the Boeing 777 that vanished 2 years ago has previously been found in both countries. Officials in Kansas say a large tornado has damaged or destroyed as many as 25 homes in a rural area in the northern part of the state. There were no immediate reports of fatalities. The National Weather Service says the twister was on the ground for an hour and a half last night. In sports and baseball, the Yankees lost to the Blue Jays. The Mets shut out the Nationals. The Red Sox and Giants won. The Orioles and A's lost. In the NHL playoffs, the San Jose Sharks are headed to the Stanley Cup Finals. More on these and other stories within the hour. Bob?
Michael Barr, thank you very much. Time now to check in on what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the head of the Centers for Disease Control, Tom Frieden, addressing the crisis over the Zika crisis today. In remarks, The finals getting underway today in the 89th annual Scripps National Spelling Bee, and also making news this morning, a Bloomberg story on the latest moves in the delicate dance between the Speaker of the House and the presumptive GOP presidential nominee. Our own Jennifer Jacobs joining us now on this. It seems they're coming now to some serious talking now, Mr. Ryan and Mr. Trump. On Jennifer?
Yes, they are. I did confirm that they spoke last night by telephone. Donald Trump was out in California. They spoke just before he went to a fundraiser out there. I was told it was a good conversation, which is what they were both hoping for. And I was also told that there was no talk of endorsements. So that's interesting. I know they're both trying to break this weeks-long impasse over whether Paul Ryan will endorse or not. So that did not happen last night.
Now, we had been told heading into this telephone conversation that an endorsement might be imminent.
Yeah, that's right. So if you talk to the Trump team, they say that an endorsement is coming. They say it's a done deal. The idea is just to have a few perfunctory conversations so that Paul Ryan can say they've had time to talk and get familiar with each other's thinking. If you talk to Team Ryan, they say that the focus is to talk about the future, to talk about the plans and this blueprint that Paul Ryan's team is putting together for various ideas, such as how to replace the Affordable Care Act, how to rein in the power of the presidency, how to reduce poverty. So there's different ideas about how quickly this is coming. When Paul Ryan spoke with reporters yesterday, he said, quote, "We're having good conversations. That's all you need to do to begin to get on the same page." So it sounds like they're close to getting on the same page.
Now, is it merely a forward spin on policies looking ahead, or is Mr. Ryan still wrestling with a candidate who has, after all, called Mexican immigrants rapists and drug traffickers, wants to build a wall along the Mexican border, block Muslims from entering the country, that sort of thing?
Yes, it's not clear to me how much Paul Ryan is trying to influence Donald Trump on those types of things. All we know for sure is that he's preparing to roll out these six GOP policy blueprints in June on these various issues, and that those are the things that are forefront in his mind. And Speaker Ryan has said that these are not proposals that Congress can pass while President Obama is still in office. So it's an agenda that they're hoping to create for when the next president, and they hope a Republican president, namely Donald Trump, is sworn in. So I know that Speaker Ryan wants to influence Donald Trump to, you know, understand what this task force is coming out with and what his various policy plans are.
And very quickly, any other talks that we know of coming up?
Yes, they are planning to get this one or two more times in the next week and a half or so.
Jennifer Jacobs from Bloomberg News joining us. Thank you very much. You can read more about this story on Bloomberg.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Now your Bloomberg Green Business Report. With summer whale watching season fast approaching, conservation advocates and government agencies who want to protect whales are promoting a new tool to do just that. And that new tool.
Yep, there's an app for that.
Is a mobile app designed to help mariners steer clear of the animals and keeping them alive. The Whale Alerts app provides a real-time display of the ocean and the position of the mariner's ship, along with information about where whales have been seen or heard recently in restricted areas. The International Fund for Animal Welfare collaborated with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration on the app, which provides information on both U.S. coasts. Andy Hammond, a mariner from Martha's Vineyard, says he's used the tool aboard pilot boats to take the guesswork out and avoid whales in Boston Harbor. Collisions with high-speed ships are one of the leading causes of death for some species of whales. It's available for download by anyone with an iPhone or an Android device.
Yep, there's an app for just about anything.
And that is your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Karen.
All right, thanks, Bob. And it's 6:53 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg View. Is Donald Trump
the Republican Party's fault? After all, most Republican Party actors resisted the Trump takeover until, and in some cases even after, his nomination opponents dropped out. But the party nevertheless bears plenty of responsibility for the rise of the reality show star. Republicans had encouraged, or at least tolerated, Goulart taunts and far-fetched conspiracy talk long before Trump's campaign. Republicans had also already lowered the standards for their politicians. Several well-qualified Republican candidates ran in 2016, but Republican voters had been taught by their party to ignore normal qualifications, and they did so. And yes, Republicans have tolerated bigotry ever since Richard Nixon's Southern strategy, even if they avoided Trump's explicit version. Voters have all sorts of ideas. Only when politicians highlight those ideas do they escape from people's heads and become political issues. Neither Trump nor earlier Republican dog whistlers created the audience they played to. But there are many potential audiences in the electorate. Politicians and political parties choose which ones to nurture and are fairly held responsible for their choices. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard hourly, weekday mornings. Karen.
All right, thank you, Bob. Now let's check other stories making news this morning. And on Bloomberg Top, when it comes to taxes, millionaires of short fuses ratchet up their rates and they'll blow you off and move to a low-tax or no-tax state. Or so goes one argument against taxing the rich. States that levy a millionaire's tax risk chasing those millionaires away to Florida, Texas, and other places with no income tax. Hedge fund manager David Tepper's recent decision to move from New Jersey to Florida, possibly creating a billionaire-sized hole in Jersey's budget, raised alarms. Now, a study based on 13 years of tax data finds that most millionaires don't move cross-country just to avoid a tax bill. It turns out that the rich, while perhaps different from us, aren't all that mobile. When they do move, it's often for reasons that have nothing to do with taxes. For one thing, they appear to like the beach.
And Karen, from the Bloomberg, this one will get your attention. The drinks were flowing in Miami Beach that evening when Wall Street's top cop crashed the party. As dealmakers crowded around the sleek circular bar at the Fountain Blue Hotel in Miami last September, folks from the Securities and Exchange Commission were mingling, looking for their next big case. Awkward, yes, but not uncommon these days. Like a skunk at a garden party, the SEC has been moving in on the fun-loving Wall Street conference circuit in hopes of getting a better handle on who's up to no good in the world of finance, and the SEC isn't the only one. The Commodities Futures Trading Commission, also especially transparent about its intentions when it set up a booth in the middle of an industry gathering in March.
I'm from the Associated Press. The final day of the Scripps National Spelling Bee could feature the most difficult words ever used in the competition. Bee organizers decided to make changes after the competition ended in a tie the past 2 years. This year, the final three spellers could be forced to spell more, and judges can adjust the difficulty of the winning words as needed. Also, the Bee got rid of a second written test that was used to help pare the field down to 10 finalists, and that means this morning's rounds will be as difficult as necessary to eliminate 35 spellers.
D-O-N-E, Karen, D-O-N-E.
Great. Well, customers can find these stories and more on the Bloomberg Terminal, and I think you should enter that spelling bee there, Bob. And this is Bloomberg Radio, Bloomberg the first word. S&P E-mini futures are up 3 points this morning. Dow E-mini futures up 32. NASDAQ E-mini futures are up 8. And the 10-year Treasury, that'll change the yield 1.86%. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg the first word, and Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead on Bloomberg Radio.